Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell, and I want to introduce you to Striving Together Publications, the publications ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. Our desire is to strive together for the faith of the gospel with you and other like-minded Christians as we provide sound biblical resources for your spiritual growth. At strivingtogether.com, you will find a growing collection of outstanding books, Sunday school curriculum for all ages, conservative Christian music, outreach and discipleship resources, and many other tools for your personal and spiritual growth. You'll also find a variety of tools for your local church ministry. Be sure to visit strivingtogether.com and let us know how we can help you and your church grow in God's grace.
Have you noticed that times are changing? Well, believe it or not, the Bible has a lot to say about changing times. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we have an all-new series entitled Times Are Changing. We're going to discover what the Bible has to say about what's happening in our world today. Stay with us. When it comes to predicting the future, the Bible is 100% accurate. Friend, let that sink in for a moment. 100% accurate. It's never been wrong. It never will be wrong because it's the Word of God. And when it comes to today's headlines and the economic and political unfoldings of our day, the Bible is 100% accurate as to the meaning and the direction of these events. It's amazing that God, thousands of years ago, gave us an unfolding description of what's happening before our very eyes on the world scene. Times are changing. That's the topic of this series. It's an all-new series preached recently at Lancaster Baptist Church with Dr. Paul Chappell. Pastor Chappell is the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And this program comes to you every Monday through Friday on this station. And we look forward to this series, Times Are Changing. If you'd like to subscribe to the daily podcast, you can take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it on your computer or iPod. You can also subscribe to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. All of this and much more when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we begin our series in 1 and 2 Peter, and we're going to discover the nature of Bible prophecy, somewhat of an introductory message and an overview of what Bible prophecy is really all about. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
There are over 300 prophecies in the Bible concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And often as we read those prophecies, the Bible describes a certain type of environment that will precede and will accompany the day and the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus. For example, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." On another occasion, the disciples in Matthew 24 said to the Lord Jesus, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus said in verse 6, "Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." Now, I don't know about your particular community or your particular neighborhood, but in the places I get around, a lot of people have been asking lately, what's going on in the world today? Times are changing so rapidly, it's hard to comprehend all of the change globally and economically, politically, and militarily. Many are wondering what's happening and is the coming of Christ on the horizon. Now, if you're a student, even in a cursory way, of human history, no doubt you would understand that the world at times has had rapid change and at other times, perhaps years without so much change so rapidly. You look back to the first century and you're mindful of the fact that Christianity spread like wildfire in the first century, and through the ministry of the Apostle Paul and the other apostles, the gospel went to the known world very, very rapidly during that time. And throughout the Roman world of the first century, the gospel was preached. And then, of course, for 14 centuries, there was the time known as the Dark Ages, and the gospel did not spread so rapidly, and even culture and the sciences were held down, because it was during this time when many times Bibles were burned and Christians were also burned at the stake for their faith in Jesus Christ. Then came the time known as the Reformation, and while many of the Reformers were not Baptists like we are, there was certainly a time of spiritual awakening. There was a time when the Bible was printed again. Once again, men like Tyndale and others had their ministries, and the world began to sense some time of freedom and enlightenment through that. But of course, since World War II, we have seen the most rapid change ever in the history of this planet. Since World War II, we have seen technology advance in such a rapid way as compared to the previous hundreds of years that we have mentioned this morning. And I think about even the last 10 years or so and the change that's been taking place on this planet. For example, 9-1-1, how that event changed the world as we know it today. The war in Iraq, China's rise to become a superpower in the world. The tremendous fall, so-called, of Russia, and now the rise of Russia in their military might and power. The Islamic Jihad against the United States of America, Israel, and their allies. And then we see now the building of the largest embassy of the United States anywhere in the world, in the town known as Baghdad, a city that we'll be studying next week in more detail, a place that is a focal point for Bible prophecy. And many are wondering what the buildup will look like there in Iraq in the years to come. Others have given questions concerning all of the technology and the rise of technology and biometrics and fingerprints and the ability through computers to track the citizens of this world. It's an amazing turn of events that we have seen in the last 30 or 40 years technologically in this world. I heard about an old farmer that had a grandfather clock one night that went haywire in the house, and for some reason it chimed 14 different times. Finally, he jumped out of bed. He said to his wife, "Wake up, Nellie, wake up. It's later than it's ever been before." And I think some of us would agree that we're living in the latter days of world history, even as we sit here this morning. Now, when it comes to this matter of the end times, there are a lot of voices speaking out today. A lot of different people with a lot of different ideas about how to solve the world's economic problems, how to solve world hunger, and so forth. One of the voices that we hear often is the voice for a new world order. We hear many, even in America, speaking less and less of patriotism and nationalism and more of globalism and the world economy. People are calling for a new world order, which consists of many of the very elements that the scriptures speak about concerning the coming empire of the Antichrist. The world government globalists are calling for is a government that would insist on the surrendering of sovereignty by many and all of the world governments today. They call for a world headquarters, a world court, and even a world military. Some small beginnings of that have been seen already, and obviously through the past years of the United Nations, but specifically in recent days with the development of the European Union. Already they have the European Union Court there in the Netherlands, and there are many that would like to see the centralization of power in Europe. And a call for this type of new world order is being heard and spoken of in many universities and many political think tanks today. Then, of course, this voice would also speak of the world economy. Not only do they want to see the centralization of world government, but the centralization of world economy. Perhaps the great driving force in 2009 behind globalism is the crises economically, and many are using this to leverage their desire for a global economy. We'll see in the upcoming weeks that both China and Russia, At every international meeting, the G8 summits, all these types of meetings, they are pushing for an agenda that would include a one world currency. And so many today are calling for this. Even the Pope recently, Pope Benedict the 16th, according to USA Today a few weeks ago, called for the reforming of the United Nations and establishing a true world political authority with real teeth to manage the global economy with God-centered ethics. In his third encyclical, a major teaching released as the G8 summit began in Italy, the Pope said this type of authority is urgently needed. And so from the religious realm and from the political realm, we hear the voices calling for a one world economy. And isn't it interesting to hear the Pope say, we need the world nation, the United Nations, to have real teeth in dealing with these problems. And then thirdly, they speak of the world religion. And of course, we'll have an entire message on this subject in a few weeks, the One World Church. But many of the Catholic popes, the Dalai Lama, the World Council of Churches, many various groups call for a unity of one faith. And my friends, that is a faith and a spirituality that this pastor has no interest in whatsoever. We want to be a part of lifting up the name of Jesus Christ and exalting his name even in these last days. But there are many voices calling for a new world order, and sometimes we hear the terms globalism and new world order mentioned in the news and in our community. And then the other voices that we think of the voice against Israel. And this is certainly a sign of living in the latter days. First of all, the very fact that Israel exists. In 1948, Israel became the modern state. 60 years later, we have seen hatred on the rise for Israel. Voices coming against Israel at every single turn. I want you to hear one of those voices in a moment that calls out against Israel regularly and calls for the demise of Israel as we hear in the news and as we see in the papers. Many voices call for the death of Israel, the destruction of Israel. And certainly we'll see in the books of Ezekiel and Daniel the mention of these types of activities on the rise in the latter days. Israel is 1/19 the size of California, roughly the size of New Jersey, our third smallest state, 260 miles long at its longest point, 60 miles wide at its widest point, 3 miles wide at its narrowest point. A very small country geographically. And yet Israel, a democratic republic, is surrounded by 32 hostile Arab Islamic dictatorships that are about 640 times her size in geographic land matter and about 60 times her size in population. And most of them are aligned in their desire to eradicate Israel off the face of the earth. When I was there in June, I could not help but sense the hatred from Hamas and other groups, whether when I was visiting in the West Bank by seeing the various forms of graffiti and slogans that had been plastered onto the walls in Jericho, and even in Bethlehem, there is definitely a continual hatred brewing for the nation of Israel in this day in which we live. And even going back to the Clinton era with the very secretive Oslo Accords, plans have been underway to move Israel out of various lands and territories, even within Israel. The Labor Party in Israel supports a European-funded group called the Peace Now Movement, which would include removing Israel out of the Western Bank, Eastern Jerusalem, and removing them from the Temple Mount. And obviously that move will create a tremendous, tremendous furor and a tremendous anger there in Israel. And we see a pressure on Israel from all sides telling them how things should be within their country. The voice against Israel is on the rise today, and I hope that voice will not get too loud from the United States of America, for the Bible promises to bless those nations that bless and encourage Israel. Then we think of the voices that speak of the last days. Not only do we hear voices calling for a new world order, not only do we hear voices calling for the destruction of Israel, but have you ever stopped to think about all the different religions that speak about the fact that we are living in the last moments of history? Someone might say, well, you know, Christians are always talking about that and so forth. But did you know the Aztec calendar calls for the world's end on December 24th, 2011? And many of the Mayan peoples believe that we're living in the last or the fifth epoch of world history. Some of you have heard of the Jewish allegorical cult called Kabbalah. The rock star Madonna has recently converted to this cult. They're predicting the end of the world by 2012. They're predicting that at that time, the Shabbat Haggadah will begin, the big Sabbath lasting, according to their teachings, for 1,000 years. The Hindus are calling for an avatar by the name of Kalki Avatar to return and establish a golden age. And then, of course, the Muslims have been calling and looking for this 12th Imam, they call it. And Muhammad Zubair Ali wrote recently a book speaking of this enlightened one, the 12th Imam who will come. And he said, the ground will cave in and smoke will come to the skies for 40 days. And many have heard even this Ahmadinejad as he calls out. And he personally believes that this 12th Imam will come and he will create an Islamic world empire. Isn't it interesting that as the Iranian leader spoke at the United Nations, he stopped and prayed for the coming of this 12th Imam who would bring world peace. And many world religions are looking for someone to come and bring peace and to rule in the affairs of the world where we live. Well, we could give many voices by way of introduction, but there are definitely those calling for the New World Order. There are those voices calling for the destruction of Israel. There are those voices speaking about the last days of history. But we're here this morning to hear the voice of the Bible. What does the Bible say about these times? The book of the Revelation is more than a commentary on today. The book of the Revelation speaks of God's plan for all ages. And many of the prophecies in the other books of the Bible give us a glimpse out into the future of God's plan. Revelation, though, is going to be one of the key books we study in the upcoming weeks. In Genesis, the commencement of heaven and earth, and Revelation, the consummation of heaven and earth. And we're going to see that the book of the Revelation gives us a great insight into the coming days. The purpose of Bible prophecy, though, is not to frighten us. It is to remind us that God is in control. And we're going to see throughout this study that nothing ever catches our God by surprise. The English word for revelation is from the Latin re and velum, which means the unveiling. God wants to unveil for us His desire for this world. The Greek word is the word apocalypse, two words, apo and kalypto, meaning again, an uncovering. And so the revelation is the uncovering of the person and purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in the book of the Revelation that we see the final answer to Matthew 6:10, which says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so we see that the world has many voices concerning the end times, but God has given His word concerning the end times, and this is what we're going to study in the weeks to come. So let's dig into it by way of introduction this morning, learning more about the nature of Bible prophecy. I want you to take note, first of all, of the revelation of Bible prophecy. The revelation of Bible prophecy. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, the Bible says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." How many of you thank God for that? We have a more sure word of prophecy. And Peter says, "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." Now, in times of uncertainty, we can rest in this sure word of prophecy. And the uniqueness of God is expressed in His predictive nature of Bible prophecy. And I want you to notice there in verse number 21 of 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Here we see the supernatural process whereby God's Holy Spirit gave to his prophets the messages that we're going to be studying over the next several weeks. We do not believe they are man's messages. We believe it is God's word for us. And there is a process whereby we study this revelation. And I want you to notice the process that we believe to be very, very needful in understanding Bible prophecy by way of introduction. First of all, we believe in literal interpretation. As we study these next several weeks, we are going to approach the Bible as a book given by the Holy Ghost to God's prophets, and we are going to literally interpret the Word of God. It is a more sure word, it is a stable and trustworthy word, and we will approach it literally. It is as though when Peter wrote these books of the Bible as the Holy Spirit moved him, he knew he would soon die. He knew that they would be, as young Christians, discouraged. And he did not want them to lose faith. He did not want them, as the eyewitnesses, the apostles, were dying off, to lose their confidence. And so he says here in the first century, I want to remind you that we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the word of God to guide us, and it is reliable for us. Notice that in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, he says, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And so Peter says, you have this more sure word of prophecy, and we are to follow it as it was given by the Holy Spirit as our literal and reliable guide. Now, one of the basic rules of Bible interpretation is simply this. If the literal sense makes good sense, seek no other sense, lest it becomes nonsense. And we want to follow the Word of God as it is given literally. We recognize that there are times when the Bible will use figurative language. For example, I believe 28 times Jesus is referred to in the book of the Revelation as the Lamb of God. And yet that term was symbolic for his being the atoning and the righteous Son of God who died for our sins. And so we take those words and understand the context and literally interpret the passage as we study. Secondly, we want to understand the Bible contextually. And so as we study the revelation of prophecy, we will endeavor to understand the context that's been given to us. The Bible says in verse 20, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And so we'll study the Scriptures in their grammatical and historical context, comparing Scriptures with Scriptures, in order that we might have the understanding of the Word of God. How many of you believe the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible? And so we're going to take this manner of approach as we study the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so in prophecy-related Scriptures, we come to them as we come to every other Word of God, and we approach it as it is, the literal Word of God. And we study the Word of God with faith that His Spirit will open our hearts to understanding. Now then, we see the process. Let's notice, secondly, the focus. As we come to the study of prophecy these next several weeks, what is the focus of Bible prophecy? Well, generally speaking, let us say this. Bible prophecy is God's history yet to come. Bible prophecy is God's history yet to come. And I want you to see this verse in Isaiah 46 and verse 9, where God explains His prophecies to us. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. And I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure.
Well, you've been listening to Pastor Paul Chappell, and he's been teaching and preaching in a series entitled Times Are Changing. We're discovering how accurate Bible prophecy is when looking at today's news headlines, and we're understanding what God has to say about the unfolding of the end of the age. If you'd like to hear this message in its entirety or any of the recent broadcasts, if you'd like to get this entire series, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Online, you can listen to recent broadcasts. You can also subscribe to the Daily Podcast and download Daily in the Word to your own computer or iPod and take it with you and listen or re-listen to these messages at your own convenience. Would you consider referring a friend to dailyintheword.org? You probably know somebody that doesn't live in an area where this program is broadcast. They might benefit from the Bible teaching and preaching. And when you direct them to dailyintheword.org, they can listen to the program and download it to go. And hopefully the teaching of God's Word will encourage and edify those you love. If you would take time to contact us during the month of January, we would like to give you a gift, our way of saying thank you for listening, but also thank you for letting us know that our program is touching your life. This is a small book written by Pastor Chappell entitled All Things Through Christ, the 10 most important words in the life of a believer. I can do all things through Christ. What a great truth. This little booklet will encourage you. It will challenge you in your life to live your life fully dependent upon the power and the presence of Christ in each and every circumstance. It's our gift to you this month when you call or write to us. And we're easy to contact, toll-free. That number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. Let us know that our program is touching your life and how this ministry has impacted you. If you'd like to send a letter via mail, you can address your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Until next time, have a great day.